Hey guys, girls, season six, it's over. You should be crying right now, but we have to talk about it first.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Sad music cue.
I know. I feel like I should have did bass music, but it's just... the episode was like over and underwhelming at the same time. It was very, I don't know how to feel about that. Anywho, welcome to Girls Season 6, the last episode. My name is TK Trinidad, and I have one guest. We'll explain where the rest are. But I have one host joining me today.
Hi, my name is Mina Wahab, and you guys can find me on Instagram at Mina Makes Magic.
So we are missing two people, so we're missing Renee and Kia. Kia is in Coachella at the moment, so super jealous, and Renee just couldn't be here. So shout out to those guys. Make sure to hit them up on their Twitter accounts and all this good stuff. Say hello, how you're doing, all that good stuff. But let's get to the task at hand. Latching.
Yeah.
I think it was actually like a metaphor for stuff, but we'll get to the end of it. So what did you think of the episode on a whole?
On a whole, I was actually really surprised that they only focused on three characters. Mm-hmm. Lorene, Marnie, and Hannah.
Right.
A little shocked. I thought that we would have some sort of resolution on what was going on with Hannah and the other characters. You know, if Jessa and Hannah would still be in touch.
Right.
You know, we don't see her with Adam again because she already discussed that that wouldn't happen. I just felt like there's a lot of,
unresolved
issues in a way. But at the same time, like, it's interesting how they did that 5 months thing. Like, mm-hmm. you were saying before that they would do that. You called it. Because it just shows kind of like how life moves on and now she's progressing into a completely different stage of life.
Right.
Which, you know, I guess it kind of makes sense that those are going to be the three people in her life right now.
Yeah, I kind of like, I was the same way, felt like we should have revisited the other characters. But now thinking back to the episode before that, it's like you left off, you know, Jessa and Adam, mm-hmm. you know, they're either doing some type of relationship or some type of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's just like they're going off into their own lives, whether it's going to be together or not. So you can kind of have a tie up of that. And, you know, Jessa and Hannah's relationship somewhat is kind of one of those things that might be that situation, you know, maybe once a year or maybe mm-hmm. every 6 months. It might be that relationship.
Which isn't necessarily bad.
Right.
You know, maybe that's good for the friendship. They even said something in this episode, you know, sometimes you have to just know when to let your friends go and, you know, you put your happiness first and that helps your friendship.
Yeah. And then Shosh, you know, she's out of the picture. However, I do think eventually she's going to come back. And it does leave for a very big opening as far as a movie.
Right.
So, or I know, I think Gilmore Girls did something like, you know, years down the line, mm-hmm. they had a couple episodes. And I know 24 did that as well. So yeah. It leaves an opening for something.
Definitely.
And then, of course, Marnie. So what do you think of the whole situation with Marnie?
I mean, it makes sense that she always tries to find meaning in things and, you know, make her life meaningful by mm-hmm. being there for someone else. I think she would make an amazing mom. Like, just seeing how she handled the situation with Hannah,
Grover.
How mature she was. The thing is, it's you still see that immaturity in
right.
her when she's like, I'm your best friend. Who else is here? Jessa isn't here. Adam's not here. You know, she's just counting down all the people who aren't there. And
right.
by process of elimination, she should be the token best friend to help out with the baby. So that's the part that felt a little immature to me.
Right.
But then the part where she knows how to be calm in the situation with raising the baby, and when Hannah's going crazy, she's not making the situation worse. She's
right.
really just being that rock for Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little shocked by that. I was like, wow, Marnie, like, you know, she is a great friend.
The beginning part, that part, well, when she's in bed with Hannah and Hannah didn't even realize she was there, that was kind of creepy.
Latching.
Right.
Yeah.
I kind of felt it was selfish. Like, I definitely appreciate what she did for Hannah, but the reasoning behind it was kind of selfish because she had no place to stay. She was living at her mom. So she moved in with Hannah. She has a big house in her own room and her privacy to do all types of sexting and everything else that she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was more of a, this situation right now with my mom is pretty crappy situation. And, you know, let's admit it, at a certain age, you know, once you've been married and all this other stuff, the last thing you want to do is go to your parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
So if she's living with Hannah, then she still feels somewhat as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's helping Hannah take care of Grover and all this other stuff, but it's more for selfish reasons. It's just like, say if you meet somebody who's, you know, I don't know, 40 and mm-hmm. living, you know, not contributing to the household, and they're just living off of their parents still. Kind of creepy. Mm-hmm. So I think the reasoning behind it was selfish. However, I do think how she dealt with Grover and the whole situation and almost being the yin to Hannah's yang definitely played a part, because she couldn't afford to be crazy because you have a life now that you're taking care mm-hmm. of. So right. I think the initial stages were on the selfish side of things. But, you know, it is what it is. So now we fast forward, like you said, five months later. And mm-hmm. now Hannah is with baby Grover. Mm-hmm. I can't. What do you think of that? Why would she name him that?
I was trying to think, is there something in previous episodes?
The father wanted to name him Grover.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, is that the name that,
something. Yeah.
Paul Louis. Yeah, he said Grover would be a cool name, so.
Why?
I guess maybe down the line, that could be where he got his name from, and Hannah can have that conversation. Like, your dad wanted to name you this, but. Right. He decided to stay uninvolved, like, that. Whenever that conversation
I know, that's going to be an interesting conversation.
But it's like, why would you name him after? I don't know. Well, I guess that's the contribution.
Maybe there is a real Grover out there. I mean, the character had to come from somewhere. So mm-hmm. it is what it is. So we fast forward. Hannah is now with child. She's the first scene where she's with the doctor. I actually thought she finally got it. Mm-hmm. Like, she's become a mom, she's, you know, she's kind of taken the whole adult responsibility, and she's good to go. Mm-hmm. But then you, like, look at her and Marnie's situation and how they interact almost like a couple of some sort. It's like, oh, in this particular scene of her life, like, she hasn't gotten it. And I don't know if she didn't get it because Marnie was almost like her crutch, and she was allowed to, you know, like, go all over the place, like, do mm-hmm. outbursts, or I don't know. It just felt like, okay, the baby's here now. Mm-hmm. You can't afford to, like, there was a comment where she, like, slept for 13 hours. And
yeah.
You can't afford to do that.
Yeah.
So I don't know, do you think Marnie was a crutch for her and would have been better off if she did it on her own and Marnie didn't enter the picture, or?
I think she almost needed the crutch mm-hmm. in the beginning just to, like, so that she wouldn't entirely freak out. She could still have that gradual transition from typical Hannah, who's, mm-hmm. like, super neurotic and, you know, blames everyone and gets, like, super annoying about these things and doesn't take responsibility, mm-hmm. to the Hannah, you know, the on her way to self-actualization Hannah, which we kind of see at the end, where she finally, you know, slowly starts taking responsibility once she sees that girl in the streets who's acting like a little brat.
But I don't know. I kind of feel like, yeah, that's a good way. I mean, she's lucky that she, in that way, that's, she's lucky that she actually had Marnie to mm-hmm. be there for her.
Right.
But on the flip side, and of course, then there wouldn't be an episode. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, if Marnie wasn't there, like, you have one or two choices. Like, you can't afford to sleep for 13
yeah,
hours.
You
like,
can't.
You can't do all that stuff. It's like, either, you know, pick up Grover and deal with it, or give him away. Like,
right.
You.
It's almost like this pool analogy. Like, some people get into a swimming pool by just being pushed in, and then that's how they learn how to swim.
Right.
Versus the other people who they go in the stairs little by little, put their toes in the water, see that it's freezing, get out, go back in, get out, then finally, like, slowly get back in. And it's a more painful process than just being thrown in there and, like, learning how to swim.
Right, almost like ripping the Band-Aid off, too.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that. And I feel like you get the same result in both instances, but one makes you mature quicker, and mm-hmm. the other makes you rely on all different ways to procrastinate or avoid doing what you know you ultimately have to do,
right.
what you ultimately signed up for. So I think that, you know, either way, the job would have gotten done. You know, she made her decision that she would not give the baby up for adoption. I think it's awesome that Marnie was there as that crutch to help out mm-hmm. initially, and it helped Hannah ease into it as opposed to right. feeling completely abandoned with no one there yeah. for her.
It's almost like the situations, I know a lot of people, like, their moms come and help them. So I guess it's like the same situation.
Right.
You kind of need that, you know, moment to figure out, like, oh, crap. This is not what I thought. And what I really liked about this episode, because when you see, like, other pregnancies or, you know, people who have babies on TV, it's like, oh, the baby, oh, they spit up. And then you, like, you know, wipe them and all this other stuff. And it's, like, simple. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Hannah's talking about her vajayjay and all these other symptoms, and I don't want to call them ailments, but all these other things that are going on in her body, and that she's still bleeding, which is like, okay. But the fact she's talking about it's so real compared to you. I can't remember the last time on a television show I've actually heard like a mother talk about something like that.
Yeah, same.
So it's just like, oh, I didn't want to hear that, nor did I want to see all that.
She'll see the less glamorous sides of being a mom without that, you know, caricature of like, oh, being a mom is difficult. Oh right. My gosh, it did feel very raw.
Yeah, especially even the swaddling part with her and Marnie. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you think? So we did see Marnie in her character, and it seems like she's eventually going to move on sooner than later. Mm-hmm. Where do you think Marnie is going to end up?
That's so difficult. It was so interesting when she said, you know, maybe I'll just go to law school because I like rules. So she's that type of person that likes structure.
Right.
She likes things that are cut and dry because she does have that obsessiveness where she doesn't like the room for in between. But I feel like she's someone who kind of just jumps into anything because she needs some sort of validation structure. And she hasn't really, like, sat down with herself to figure out what she wants. It's almost about getting validation from other people. And I think once she learns to move away from that, like, really just listen to her inner voice and not worry about what her parents, what her mom says is good for her, what her friends say is good for her, what looks good on paper, or what looks good and cool in front of everyone else. Once she, like, really chooses what makes her happy, it'll be a life-changing decision for her. Because she even said, you know, why, like, something along the lines of, why does my happiness matter? Or, you know, right. I had to be there for Hannah. Well, you have to be there for yourself first. And it's funny because she is a selfish character in a lot of ways. She's narcissistic. But there is this weird thing where even though she's selfish, she's selfish in the wrong ways, and the ways that she needs to be selfish, she isn't.
Right.
So be selfish in the ways that help you develop and grow. Don't be selfish in the ways that are just annoying and insulting and, you know, obnoxious.
I don't know. I see her as a character that's still, like, not going to get it. If this movie or this TV show or something eventually comes out and we see all these characters later on, like, I see her as always in theory, like, it's almost like those people who always say that you have the potential. It's like you have all these things for the potential to be great, but you just never use them. Yeah. And I think in theory she has all these, like, you know, she came from a good family, she has the education, she has the drive, but then she stops, like, right before she can actually get somewhere. So, like, law school would be a great idea, but then she realizes, oh, that she has to take the LSATs, and that's you know, studying, and that LSAT, I've taken the LSATs. It's not a good
look. It's a lot of dedication. Yeah. And even after the LSAT, once you go through law school, even when you finish, you have to take the bar. Yeah. So it's a huge commitment.
Yeah. So I don't know if she's ready for, especially through a long period of time.
And, like, it's actually the one grad school that has the highest suicide rate out of all grad schools.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah.
It's not, I think the first year you're not allowed to, you're not allowed to work, but because it's so intense, they just recommend, like, there's no way you can actually do that and work at the same time.
Yeah,
so
it's very difficult.
I don't see that happening for Martin. Like, it's just, she's such a interesting character because it's just like you were saying, she's definitely a giving person, and then she has that selfish streak, and I don't know if she'll ever kind of get to that point where she realizes to kind of put everything into perspective and actually use the talents that she has to get further.
I think that it's one of those things where if she has something traumatic happen to her, I mean, God forbid, but if she has something where she loses someone she really loves or something crazy happens to her, then she'll have, like, this epiphany where she's like, you know what, life is too fragile, life is too important, I need to stop the BS, I have to, like, really hone in on what makes me happy, because there's no point to this if I don't do what's fulfilling for me.
Right. And she had, like, a semi-decent singing career that she could actually done.
Yeah.
Did something with it. So I just, I don't get the fact that she's living, like, in her mom's basement, which is fine. That's a good starting point. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, all right, start from scratch. But she had the connection. She was touring. Like, she was doing things. And, you know, Desi was great. And not belittling the fact that he was just playing guitar, because he was playing the guitar and singing. But, like, she had a great voice. So I just don't understand why she didn't try at least pursue that. It's like the moment he was out of the relationship, she can no longer kind of go for that dream.
It all comes back to self-worth, because if you remember back in earlier episodes, even though she has a great singing voice, remember when she was sitting down with Ray and Ray was like, what do you want to do?
Right.
And she's like, sing. And he's like, then just do it. And then she gives him a sample. And he's like, well, not right now. I mean, like, do it later.
Exactly.
And he's like, wow, you can sing. So it's like she feeds off of the validation of other people. And she needs people to tell her how good she is, as opposed to her just doing it on her own, mm-hmm. not needing the validation of other people, and just finding out for herself what she's good at based on what's working and what isn't working. She always needs a partner. I mean, even when Desi wasn't there, it was her mom that filled in. She doesn't need anyone. She just needs to do it solo.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. So much so that she calls Laureen.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's different. That's not fair. That's not fair to say that. I mean, I know she signed up for this. I know she said that she'd be there for the baby. But it's still not her job, even though she signed up for it. I think Hannah does need the mom there. I don't think there was anything wrong with her doing that.
I think I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
But I just think how it was done. Like, she signed up for it, and it would have been a good idea. Like, if I signed up for that situation, it'd be like, well, your mom's retired. You know, this. You know, even though I might be your main help, like, why? Like,
talk it out first before just surprising her.
Yeah, talk it out first. Like, hey, we should have your mom come down. And I think Hannah did mention that her mom was there, and then she complained about something. So, you know, she didn't necessarily want her long term. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like Laureen. Is that what I'm saying? Right?
Laureen.
Yeah, she's like the voice of reason. Mm-hmm. She's kind of been through everything, and she's, you know, she's now, she doesn't seem as suicidal as she was last time. Mm-hmm. Remember with her and Elijah?
Yeah.
And the whole situation.
Although Hannah did bring up that sensitive topic again.
Right. But it's like somebody brings up a sensitive topic and hits you below the belt, but you can handle it. Mm-hmm. It's like she kind of took it as like, okay, I get it. I'm going to give you a pass because you're going through some stuff. And I just, you know, gave you some stuff that you don't want to hear. Mm-hmm. So I get that. But I think it seems like she's in such a better position where it's just like she's fine. Mm-hmm. She's fine with her life now. And she seems like she's very happy about it. Like even when she caught Marnie, what was it? Did she say beating off?
Yeah.
I think she did say beating off.
She said it doesn't count as masturbating if you're video chatting.
Right. So she catches Marnie, and it's like she was kind of almost hip to that whole dynamic of, okay, well, now I'm single, and this is, you know, what we do, and there's, you know, sexting, and there's internet dating and all this other stuff. She seemed very non-phased by it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I just...
She definitely made it less awkward by being that way.
Right.
As opposed to her just, like, not addressing it at all and being like, well, no.
And then the thing, too, is what I noticed is there was no locks, or she's not locking her door, Marnie. Like, there's two times where she was doing the sexting and she was kind of, like, looking at herself, taking the pictures, and Hannah walks in with Grover.
Mm-hmm.
Or, no, Hannah walks in and completes...
She hands him Grover. She was doing the sexy bikini selfie thing.
Right. And then there's another time where she's doing the do with the personal trainer on video chat, and then Laureen just walks in, like...
But do these people not knock? Come on now.
Well, forget about, like, knocking, I agree.
Yeah.
But knocking and then also having an additional safeguard, especially if you're doing something like that, as far as locking your door, it just...
Maybe there's no lock on there.
That's just, well, I mean, in certain areas, I know, like, if it's, like, more, like, the suburb type areas, mm-hmm. locks are not really...
Yeah, I don't have a lock on my door.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
No, I don't care.
Just feels... I like knowing it's there. I don't use it, but I like kind of... You know, just in case. So there's that whole situation. So what do you think, everything that Laureen said to Hannah, how do you think, it was right of her? Or do you think she was in the right direction? Or what did you think, what were your thoughts on that?
I loved it. I thought, yeah, tell her that. Because she was saying, this isn't a mistake you can just delete. You can't erase a text message. You can't block someone's phone number.
Mm-hmm.
You signed up for this. And this is a decision that you will live with for the rest of your life. It's true. If you decide to have a baby, hey, like, when you have the baby, you chose to have that baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is your responsibility to take care of that kid now. And it is totally unfair to bring a kid into the world and then abandon him or her just because it's too difficult.
Right.
You know, this was your decision. You live with that choice. Unfortunately, it's a choice that, you know, you live with for 18 years or more.
Or more. Nowadays, it's more.
Yes. Or maybe 40 years, who knows?
Oh, my gosh. I feel like, again, like I was saying with Hannah, they showed all these things that, like, happened to your body and stuff like that. I feel like if certain episodes or certain shows, like more shows were more on the realer side of things, or at least you see more shows on that line. You know, I don't think it's going to dissuade people from having kids, but be more realistic on the possibilities, like this is potentially going to happen, and, you know, all the other things that I didn't know of until, like, friends of mine started having kids. I'm like, oh, it's supposed to be, you know, pretty. Yeah,
no one ever tells you. I feel like you don't know until you experience it.
Right.
Because you can read all these manuals. Like, Marnie is so type A, where she's like, I'm reading everything right now. I'm trying.
Did you envelope the...
envelope, actually. Envelope. The proper way.
Oh, my gosh.
But there are certain things, like, yeah, I think it's great to read these books. I think it's important. But you don't really know until you do it physically.
Right.
So.
I don't know. It's just, oh, this, it was a...
How did you feel about the episode overall?
I think it left a lot of room for something later to come in. Mm-hmm. It's kind of one of those situations where, and I was kind of hoping that would happen. I didn't want the, you know, those classic episodes or those classic series finales where, you know, everything is tied up and you see these characters, you know, in the coffee house with the baby bouncing on, you know, on the knee, and everybody's happy and smiling and, you know, drinking coffee or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I liked that it was very real. Mm-hmm. Like, this whole situation seemed very, very real to me. Like, you were looking into, you know, a friend or whatever, their whole situation. Like, you know, she's a single mom. Okay, her friend decided to help her. But, you know, her friend has all this other stuff going on. And, you know, you might not talk to your friends. Like, mm-hmm. it's just your former friends. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you have friends from elementary school that you may or, you know, see with the whole advent of Facebook and everything. And you kind of,
right.
you can see what they're doing. But do you talk to them as often as you used to? Probably not.
Right.
And those could have been the friends that you talk to almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with, you know, college and high school and all this other stuff. So it was very real and not.
I guess it was just weird that it was a 5-month difference that caused us to not see all of these relationships unfold.
Right.
I guess that was the weird thing, is like, does 5 months make a huge difference in terms of your relationships with people? Can everything change in 5 months?
Everything can change in a month. Change a job or change your schedule. Like, for instance, my schedule has changed drastically as far as different opportunities I'm taking advantage of. And a friend that I used to speak to every day around 4 o'clock, I can no longer do that sometimes. It's not every day because I'm doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that friendship hasn't changed. It's just, or the friendship, the base of the friendship hasn't changed, but the dynamic of our friendship at the moment has.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's more of understanding, like, okay, this is, it's not like you're not answering the phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm legitimately doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can call you at a time, because he goes to bed at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
If I can call you at a time that, you know, that I know you're up, then I'll call you back.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very, there's an understanding there. And I think things, you know, change stuff. Some people understand, and then some people move on. So, like, I feel like if Hannah told Marnie she didn't want her help,
mm-hmm.
that might have been a real, that would have destroyed their friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like Hannah was almost forced to, I think Hannah realized that she might need help, but she's also like, okay, like, this is more for you than me.
Yeah.
And then after she had the baby.
It actually did feel that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
And then after she had the baby, then it was, like, more for her. So, you know, and then it almost became like they morphed into some type of, like, old couple at one point.
They totally seemed like they were together. Totally seemed like that. I guess there was a scene in, or, like, a quote in Sex and the City that said, you know, your best friends are your soulmates, and guys are there just to have fun with. So that's what it felt like. Like, Marnie was Hannah's soulmate for a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. And I almost felt like with the cop, just to spin things even more, it's like the cop will eventually be, like, Hannah's, like, boyfriend. Like, if they were to, like, fast forward, and I didn't know if they were going to include this, and obviously they didn't, but it's almost like, okay, the guy who followed her home to make sure she was safe turns out to be the guy who, you know, makes sure she's safe for the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm.
It could be one of those, like, I almost have a feeling the cop is going to play a bigger part, but again,
I felt like it was just a random...
It could be random.
Random role. Just, I mean, like, the girl she saw on the street. Do we really think we're going to see that girl again?
Yeah, definitely not her. That was a very... And that girl didn't seem like she was a teenager, one. So it's kind of... It kind of...
She seemed like a college student.
Yeah,
right?
She seemed like a college
student.
Like
freshman in college.
Exactly.
Type situation.
Like she was like, you know, because she's teaching in college. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm assuming Hannah was.
Yeah.
Not prep school. So she's teaching in college. So I'm assuming this girl, she looked like she was of college age, you know, a problem with a fraternity or a boyfriend or something.
That's what I thought.
Right. And then she's like, she's in high school. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Very confused.
I was so confused. And her, like, taking off her pants. It was a very Hannah move.
That was a very Hannah move.
It was very, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. And then, of course, the realization of, okay, there's this kid, supposed kid, complaining about not doing their homework.
Mm-hmm.
And then realizing, like, she was a kid and is complaining about not raising her kid. So she needs to just start raising her kid.
Yeah.
Which...
And I love how it's the child that gave her perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the girls has this trend of, you know, they always get these, you know, shocking realizations from the most random people.
Right.
Whether it's the person at the gas station giving advice to, you know, whoever, or I don't know. It's just so weird how they always do that. It's always the characters that we think are irrelevant that become the most relevant to their growth.
Yeah. I think it's within everyday life. It's like one of those things where, I was talking to somebody about this. It's like you have to remain awake.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you walk in and you ask somebody, for instance, where the bathroom is.
Mm-hmm.
When there's a big sign literally directly in front of you. And I'm guilty of it, too.
I do that, too.
Yeah. Literally directly in front of you, pointing to where the bathroom is. But you decide to, instead of doing that and actually, like, you know, looking at your surroundings, you instead of doing that, you ask the nearest person who might not even work there. You're just assuming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where the restroom is. It's like we, you know, we get into this way of life where, you know, you're just walking with your eyes closed and all these little situations, if you decide to, you know, wake up or, you know, actually take stock in everyday life, you know, the hours and the minutes and all these little things, you can see, like, you know, situations between two dogs, how that's going, or, you know, this, you know, a bus or all these little things you can kind of see and apply that to your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people are able to do that. Sometimes they wake up and see it, and sometimes they never do. And, you know, they're like a Marnie situation where she's just in her, like, I don't know if she'll ever escape her own world.
Marnie?
Yeah.
I mean.
I don't know. I know people like her that they're the funny thing is, like, the almost the luxury of not having to, like, it's like, okay,
it's not like she's set for life, you know, financially. I don't think she is. I think she's gonna have to find her own way, and I don't think she's gonna rely on someone else to do it. I think that's how she's gonna grow. She's gonna find her own path.
Hopefully,
it's gonna be a very interesting wake up call. But just seeing how she handled the baby situation, I do see some maturity in there, and I do feel like there are better things to come from Marnie.
Oh,
I do. Mm. But I also like to see the good in people. So
I mean, I like to see the good in people too.
I like to focus on that and, you know, hope for the best. Yes, exactly.
I like to see the good in people too, but it's just like you also see. It's like almost expecting somebody, I don't even know if this is a good scenario, but it's almost like expecting somebody to do something that you've told them to do a billion times.
Mm-hmm.
And just like they just never do it. And it's like, do you get upset the fact that they never do it, or do you just accept them for who they are? And it's kind of like...
Yeah, there's both. It's like a push and pull.
Yeah, so it's kind of like with Marnie, it's like it almost seems like her mom... In a longer situation or a situation from now, her mom will, like, just accept who she is.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it might be almost like a co-roommate type situation.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe she will stay with Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, from the looks of it, Hannah's place is pretty big.
Yeah.
So
she can probably afford more real estate over there.
Exactly. So she might end up staying there, and her and Hannah might actually find a balance where they could both co-parent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it could be one of those situations, too. It just leaves so many possibilities.
Yeah.
I
know that humans are creatures of habit, and you can almost predict some sort of outcome if someone's been repeating the same patterns.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I've been trying to take a new approach to life where, you know, you don't want to be tethered by your past. You want to think that, yeah, everything that has happened has made you who you are today, but at the same time, you're not tied to that past, and you can be whoever you want to be starting right now. And I feel like...
This feels like an Oprah quote.
I feel like... I love Oprah. She does say something like that, where she's like, anything that's ever happened to you has happened for you.
Right.
And I love that quote. I think it's great. But I feel like you can choose whoever you want to be right now in the current moment. You just have to have that mindset.
Right.
You know, I want to be this way. Okay. Take the steps you need to become
days.
That person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Let's do it.
Well, that's the thing. It's just like this is the difference between people who actually make it and people who don't. It's like you decide to take the step to become a new person, and then you take the first step, and you might take the third step, and then you realize, oh, this is too hard,
right?
And you revert back. It's almost pushing through that barrier. So mm-hmm. I do hope the best for Marnie. Like, I feel like it's almost like she's a real character. She's a real person. Yeah. I do hope the best for Marnie, but you know, everybody can't make it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens. So what do you think? Where do you think Hannah will end up? I guess we should do predictions.
I guess, but when are we gonna find out?
I don't know. Well, it's documented, so why not? Yeah. So predictions.
Yeah, let's do predictions.
Ooh. And now you're after Buzz TV predictions.
So where do you think Hannah will end up?
Where do I think she's going to end up? I feel like she's on the track of, you know, just being a mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a job in and of itself. And she's going to probably become a professor. I feel like because she's teaching at the college level,
mm-hmm.
maybe after some time, once she's gotten some tenure, she'll mm-hmm. be an irreplaceable source of wisdom at whatever university she's going to be at.
Irreplaceable source of wisdom. I love
yeah.
it.
I don't know. I can definitely see that. Now that she has a child,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be really difficult for her to work and take care of the kids. So I think this is where writing will come in.
Right.
Because when I think about it, you know, all the best writers, J.K. Rowling, you know, had a bunch of, or not a bunch of kids, but she was a single mom mm-hmm. and she would still raise her kid, but also write the Harry Potter series.
Right.
And I kind of see that with Hannah's character. You know, since she does have a lot of downtime, maybe that baby is going to be a source of inspiration for a whole new set of vignettes or life stories or
right.
advice to moms. Something that's not super cliche, because she does have a more unique take
right,
on things.
Right, a little different outlook.
That's not so self-helpish, but yeah. more autobiographical. So I could see Hannah doing something like that,
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, I definitely see the writing part. The professor part, I'm not so sure about, because she doesn't seem like the type that... It seems like she likes variety
mm-hmm.
and even if she it just seems like the even the stories of the last season I mean if you could put your life into seasons the stories of like the last season she can write in a book
mm-hmm.
and then you know she does have a different outlook, so it feels like you know the job that she has now is good for now. It gives her the medical, it gives her all those little like that little cushion
mm-hmm.
and especially if from this moment on she remains an adult
mm-hmm.
and takes care of Grover, it seems like, you know, she'll be able to kind of put that book together.
Right.
And, you know, once the book gets going and people realize how much of a talent she is, she doesn't really need that job per se.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when she gets kind of on her feet as a writer, then she doesn't need to teach. She can travel with Grover and teach him and all this other things. So
right.
I see more of that, more of a gypsy type lifestyle. Like there's always going to be a home base,
mm-hmm.
but she's going to, you know,
she's
go to different
places. She's going
to
be a wanderer.
Places. Yeah. I mean, it just seems like that. Like she, you know, you go out somewhere, you learn, and then you come back.
What do you think her dynamic is going to be like with her kid? Because I'm trying to envision the type of mom she'll be and what type of relationship she'll have. Especially since I think it's interesting that the kid's a son. Because she made a comment in last episode,
right.
like, I don't want him to go around raping people
right.
or something like that. Because I do feel like it's very difficult to raise boys. You have to worry about so many more things
right.
than when you raise a girl. Yeah. I feel like that. I mean, I know I'd rather have a daughter than a son. I do feel like... Boys can be a handful.
I don't even think it's a boy-girl thing. I think it's a personality thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody comes out the womb with a certain type of personality, and then obviously our experiences shape us into a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I see Hannah almost like how, oh my gosh, I forgot Adam's sister's name.
Oh.
Sample. Like,
yeah.
almost on that level of how they're raising Sample, but not that hippie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very, you know, she's very brutally honest with him. Like, she's going to have the sex talk with him. There's not going to be any, like, oh, you know, she obviously there'll be a Santa Claus to some sense, but not the whole fairy tale. And not necessarily a crash and burn type of reality, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I see her as that will be the kid that's going to be cussing, but not in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just in conversation. Like, I have friends who's they just cuss in front of their parents because their parents cuss in front of them, and that's completely fine. So it just feels like she's going to have a very open relationship, especially if it's just the two of them for a very long time. So I think she's going to, you know, get the hold of it, especially now that she's latching again. I don't know if that's the right terminology. I'm not a mom, but especially since she's doing that. So, you know,
she did breastfeed right after taking the sip of wine.
Why is that?
I was like, you can't. And I was like, am I crazy? Because I remember asking, I was like, you can't breastfeed after drinking.
Right. I think so. But again, I'm not a mom.
It ruins your breast milk. You can't do that.
Yeah.
It spoils it.
Well, there you have it. There's the one mistake. Yeah. Or maybe she just had a sip and that's not too bad. Because I've had friends where they say that you're not allowed to drink wine throughout the pregnancy, but you're allowed sips in here and there.
How would you risk it?
Well, I mean, Grover's fictitious, so he'll be fine, hopefully. I mean, that would be another story, like 18 years later and he is raping people.
Oh, that's not even funny. That would be another story.
That'd be like doing almost like, you know how Power Rangers had the dark side of Power Rangers? I don't know if you saw it.
No, it came out like a year ago.
It's just like a little vignette, but it's like the dark side of Power Rangers, and it was a whole separate thing. But anyways, I'm going off on a tangent. I just want to shout out, I'm sorry guys, I couldn't, you know, it was just the two of us, so I was trying to, you know, look at the live chat, but I'm sorry I wasn't able to talk to any of you guys, but I appreciate your comments. So, Nasi Sam, I can't pronounce your name, but thank you for chiming in. Puppy Breath, I think it was just thank you guys for kind of give us your opinions. Does Hannah have a master's? No, she doesn't have a master's. I don't think so.
She did go to the Iowa writing program, but she didn't finish it.
Yeah.
So no, she doesn't. She doesn't have a master's. Almost halfway through.
Give me shelter. Ask that question.
Any other questions or opinions that are?
Somebody said they like my necklace, so I appreciate that, too. The situation with the girls are weird. She should move on, or she was a doormat to them. So, it's just kind of like, do you think Shosha's moved on? That's a good question.
I think Shosha's moved on? Ugh.
I think so.
Yes and no. I think she's moved on, but she'd still be open to reuniting.
I think once she's been happy for a while, like, say, this husband situation, the marriage works out, and she either becomes a mom or she finds herself, she's going to realize she's going to at least try to reach out. She might. She might try to reach out and see how it goes, and if Hannah's receptive, then, you know, it might, you know, they might get back into that relationship. But I think Shosh has to get into the, you know, you almost get into that sweet spot of life where there's a moment in time where everything is going well, and then you know, life is not always like that, but you get into that sweet spot, and then you see things like, you know, it's like, oh, you know, I should do that, or I should contact this person, or I should do that. So, you know, I think she's gonna get to that point maybe after the marriage or after the honeymoon, and
I can,
you know,
see that.
Yeah, she'll feel like great about everything.
I don't think her marriage is gonna last though. Not in a bad way. It's just, remember she said that she had met him, it had been like what, like a couple of weeks, and they were moving super fast. They're getting engaged. I feel like, maybe it's just me, I feel like you kind of, it takes longer than that.
Oh, it depends on the person. I know people who met on Tinder and within a year they were married.
That's crazy. Is it one of those when you know things?
Yeah, I think when you kind of, you know what, I think this is might be an Oprah thing or whatever. It's like, you know what you like, and then you also know whether or not you can take that person's baggage. It's a very realistic adult way of looking at things. Like, you look at this person, you're like, okay, these are all the negatives that this person, like, you take off the rose-colored glasses. Like, can I handle this? Because it's just going to get more annoying as life progresses.
Right.
So can I handle this little thing that might seem small now in a snowball effect? And if you say yes, then you just kind of go on.
Show your love with that person for the rest of your life.
There you go. And know that eventually you might hate them for a moment, but it'll go back to love.
Yeah. So
we'll see. But thank you guys so much for hopping in the last... I can't believe, like, I almost expect there to be another season.
I know. I don't like that. At least we know that Elijah's on a good track.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
He made it in his...
White man can't jump thing. Yeah.
We know that Ray's on a good track.
Yes.
Seems a lot happier. Mm-hmm. He got the confidence to interview some people. And
yeah.
you know, still a manager, supervisor, whatever.
No, I think he owns the store.
Owner.
Yeah, he's the owner. And then he's also the politician or that city council.
Yeah.
And then he has a woman who's going to push him.
Yeah.
So I love it. She's going to push him into marriage. So that's just clearly he's not the boss of that situation. So, but that's probably what he needs.
I'm hoping Jessa, you know, gets back on a better track because we last saw her saying that, she couldn't help people.
Right.
She couldn't be a therapist.
Yeah.
Because I guess she couldn't help herself or wasn't in the right mindset for that.
Right.
I'm really glad they had that cathartic experience in the last episode.
Right.
So maybe now...
she can move on and do something.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. And maybe Adam, too, now that him and Hannah had that closure, that Adam will now be able to actually give 100% of himself to Jessa if that relationship continues.
I can see both ways. Like, I could see him being happy with Jessa. I could also see them being apart so that they could self-actualize and do exactly what they need to do. Maybe come back together at a later time. But I kind of see them separate because I think it would help them more if they weren't together.
I don't know.
But I don't know. Hoping for the best.
we'll see. I'm hoping for a movie or some type of show. I think she left it. They left it off at a really good point where there's a very big chance of a movie. Like, there's so many avenues, like I've said before. But thank you guys for hopping on the live chat with us. Other than that, where can they find you, Miss Mina?
You can find me on Instagram at Mina Makes Magic.
And you can find me on everything at TK Trinidad, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Snapchat, whatever. I'm there.
Oh, and don't forget to follow Nakia Monet at Kiki Boom Boom.
Kiki Boom Boom.
And Renee Ariel at Renee Ariel on Instagram.
So yeah, definitely shout them out. Give them quizzes why they weren't here. But you know, that's it. We definitely love to all of them. Hope they're safe and they get back safe and all that good stuff. But that's it for us forever.
That's a really sad ending. But no, we had a lot of fun with this girls panel, and I can't wait for whatever reunion they're gonna have later on.
Maybe she have like a girls After Buzz reunion. Anyways, that's a whole nother story.
That would be amazing.
Thanks guys for tuning in. Make sure to leave all your comments, all that stuff. We still will be reading them. And anything put on iTunes, 5 stars or above, because there's only 5 stars. But other than that, we will catch you guys later. Ciao.
Bye guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.